morning, everybody, and good to see you. Wasn't it wonderful last week? Yeah? It was just great, wasn't it? This place was full to overflowing. What a wonderful just time together, and it was great for Matt and Rebecca and Emily. It was just and Thomas. It was just wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for the parts you played in that. And I mean, Harry came last week. Paul and Sheila brought Harry along, and first time he'd been for quite a long while. I think he was just gobsmacked, and I don't know whether he thought at first actually that's how many we have every week, but he went, oh, I've never seen so many people, you know. It was lovely and it was fantastic, but so it does mean that we do have room to grow, guys. That was a long way of getting to that point. We've got room to grow. We're not at that point where, oh, you can't bring anybody because there's not room. There's plenty of room, okay? So there's no reason you can't invite people to come and share with us. Now, excuse me, this morning we're talking about perseverance. And just talking about perseverance, we just recently had our 10th anniversary for Street Pastors, and there's some cards over there if you want them. Tells you a little bit about what we do. And we were recognising that we've been going for 10 years. And some of the people have been there the whole 10 years, haven't they, Adrian? And do you know what? Sorry? No, it's not, because, thank you, the cue for what my message was when we met was the fact that it was wonderful to recognise that people had done this fantastic service for this town. Over 100 people have been involved over the 10 years, but some of them, 13 of them, have been involved the whole 10 years, which is absolutely fantastic. But the whole point of it was, you know, it is great to recognise this, and we gave them all certificates and everything like that, but it's about the next 10 years. It's not, you know, it's great to be thankful for the last 10 years, but it's now about the next 10 years, because there's still a work to be done. And so as we look at perseverance today, I want us to be aware that we're in this for the long haul. It's not the short haul. And we live in an age, don't we, where if your computer takes more than 2 seconds to come up with your Google search, oh, this stupid machine, why is it so slow? We want everything, and we know all about that, don't we, Colin? When you ask your staff, say, give me that number, and they take 5 minutes, you know, by the time they've gone through your 10 logs trying to find that number they wrote down 15 years ago, you know, because Colin has never touched a computer in his life. But we live in this super fast highway, don't we? We want to get there before we've left almost. You know, we don't want anything to get in the way. Now, the exception to that is my wife when she goes shopping. She can spend hours taking out, trying to get to the place where she wants to go because she wants to stop and look at everything. But most of us, when we leave to go somewhere, it's like the children, isn't it? Are we there yet? And we've got to Polegate when we're going to Edinburgh, you know, are we there yet? You know, we want to be there super fast, don't we? And in one sense, if God said, you're all coming to me today, wouldn't that be wonderful? Would that be wonderful? It would, wouldn't it? But actually, you know, we know that there's a good chance that he may want us to do some work tomorrow and the day after and the day after. It may not be today. So we're in it for the long haul, and we need to learn to persevere. So we're going to look at one of the verses that we'll just look at is in James 1, where right at the beginning it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then in verse 12 it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, if I was to say to you, how many of you actually had any New Year's resolutions? Did any of you have any New Year's resolutions? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, admitting it, okay. And if I was to ask how many of you have actually kept those resolutions? Well done. Rose said, well, I've got a whole year to try and do mine, so she... But, you know, the reality is we often do make New Year's resolutions and they've gone by the wayside, sometimes a day, maybe a week or a month in the year. But when we come to faith, when we say we're going to follow the Lord, it is for the long haul. Because he's promising us eternal life. And do you remember one or two people were shocked the other day when I said, do you know something? Actually, I think we're going to be working when we go to heaven. Because we're going to be like God. We're going to be like Jesus. And as I, do you remember I said that God is there working because he's looking after us all. And he's listening to our prayers. And Jesus is there interceding on our behalf. So he's working. So if they're working, it's a pretty sure bet that we're going to be working. It'd be nice work because there's going to be no tears. It's just going to be full of joy. So, but we are going to be working. And so whether it is here on earth or whether it is in heaven, let's understand it's the long haul. It's eternity. We started our eternal walk with God. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have started that eternal walk. So, but James does catch us a bit off guard because he says that we should be joyful when we encounter these trials and tribulations. Are you joyful when you get these trials and tribulations? Are you? Well, good, Bob. I think you're probably the only one in the room that would say that, because most of us aren't. We might be afterwards when we see that they've had a positive effect on our lives, but at the time, most of us don't, do we? We grumble. We don't say, oh, thank you, Lord, for sending me this testing, but afterwards we may say, thank you, Lord, for teaching me. And I think that's the issue that James is talking about. Not that we should be pleased that we have these things that we have to suffer, but do it in the knowledge and the understanding that we are going to grow through that process. How many of you can testify that you have grown more through adversity than you have through when things are going well? Most of us? Yeah? And that's what James is talking about. When we go through life's trials and tribulations, if we are walking with God, we will grow in Christ. We will become more like Jesus. We will gain experience. We will understand how to respond. How many people, I've lost count of how many people said, do you know what? I was able to help somebody in that situation because I'd experienced it myself and I understood what it was doing. And so I was able to be far more compassionate, far more empathetic with them because I understood what they were going through. If I hadn't have gone through that, I wouldn't have known. And I've said to you before, I know I'm very much like that now. But when people had issues with stress and pressure, I didn't used to have really any patience with it. I say, come on, get on with your life. You know, get up. And I've always been one of those people, you know, come on, get up and let's get on with it. When I went through my own period of going through stress and pressure and a little bit of depression, for the first time I understood that actually it can be quite debilitating. It can stop you from making decisions. It can stop you from being happy. You might be pretend to be, but it can stop you from being happy inside. It can stop you from being able to relate. It can actually even make you sometimes feel like you're in a bubble and everything else is happening around you, irrespective of what you are and what you're doing. And I learned that. So I'm now far more able to empathise with somebody who's going through that than I ever was before. Now, at the time, I didn't thank God for putting me through that. But I can thank him now, knowing that I am a different person because of what I learned through that. For some of us, it might be financial worries. It might be that we are struggling with health issues, or people that we love are struggling with health issues. It might be that our job is a real chore, and we're not particularly enjoying it, and we have to force ourselves to get up in the morning to go to work because that's what we need to do, but actually we're not really enjoying it. Perhaps a relationship has caused us hurt, or maybe we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed about something and it just feels like our prayers aren't being heard. All these things will challenge us. All these things we will find difficult to deal with, but in God's strength we can come through them, and when we come through them, we may well have grown in Christ. We may have understood more of his purposes in our lives. So we don't have to be thankful for the struggles, but be thankful for the opportunity to learn and grow through them. And I don't think that James is actually talking about those big life-changing things, you know, when somebody very close to us dies or something like that. They obviously do change us. But the everyday things, when we have that person who annoys us so much and God teaches us to have patience and to love them anyway. When we have somebody who doesn't treat us well at work And we come through the other side and are able to move on and forgive and to move on and to maybe even like them again. God used that as an opportunity for us to grow, and we can be grateful for that. We are going to go through life's adversities. There's nowhere in the Bible that says become a Christian and it's going to be an easy life. In fact, we're going to suffer for the gospel. Let's face it, let's be honest, and let's say there is a cost to being a disciple of Jesus. There is a cost. And if we look at Acts 4, we see that Peter and John, having gone from, Peter saying, when Jesus says, "Who am I?" He said, "Oh, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God." In chapter 4, they're running away into the darkness when Jesus gets arrested. They're hiding, keeping out of the way. And then, at the trial, Peter disowns Jesus 3 times. And the disciples are still hiding. Something happened when we read in chapter 4 that Peter and John are telling everybody about this Jesus. And they're telling, and they're creating such an uproar by telling everybody about this Jesus, they get arrested. Now you think that might be a warning to them? And they are warned off. They're told, don't do this anymore. Don't tell people about this Jesus anymore. Don't talk about him. Stop it. And they were released. But we read in the next chapter that they go out and they do it even more. And this time they get arrested and they get stuck in prison. But God's on hand. And they get helped out by the angel and they get out of prison, don't they? No punishment. They're out and about. And they're out doing it again. Telling people about Jesus. Telling anybody that will listen about this Jesus who had come to save them. Now you think they might have learnt their lesson, thinking, perhaps we just need to be a little bit careful here, perhaps be a little bit more circumspect. Let's not do it in quite such a public way. Let's just talk to people quietly, shall we? No. So they've been arrested and they've been let go. They've been arrested and they've been released by an angel. And then they get arrested again. What do they get this time? They get lashed. They reckon it was probably 49 lashes. They get beaten and then released and warned not to do it anymore. But of course we know, not only did they carry on doing it, but they went all around the world doing it. And they persevered. And eventually they died for doing it. So if we persevere, the punishment may be a bit more than what we've already experienced. In this country, there is a potential that there could be persecution. There is a potential. The way things are going politically, there is the possibility that Christians may end up being persecuted. It may not be quite as we see in some of the other countries, but it may be that you won't get the same opportunities. You won't be able to do this or you won't be able to do that if you express that you've got a faith in this or that you love Jesus above all else. There may be some persecution in this country. But Peter and John kept going, even though the cost got more. So if we're going to persevere, are we prepared to pay an increasing cost? I don't know about you, but when I first became a Christian, I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. I just couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And I'm not the same now. I will be a bit more circumspect. It's not bubbling over me so much, I can't just stop talking about Jesus. I do pick my moments now. And sometimes I wish I had that same naive, wonderful passion that I had when I first became a follower of Jesus. But the truth is I don't. But that means I'm probably a little bit more measured and I might not upset quite so many people along the way, because I do know that some of the things I said probably were quite hurtful to people. And I probably do still do that. But I remember one time we were at a church meeting and we were talking about whether we should be involved in this Sussex 80 crusade. And the Baptists southern part of the US were going to come and lead a team of mission in the various churches, the Baptist churches around Sussex. And our church, there was 5 of us under the age of 65 in the church. So they're all saying, we're too old. We're too old. We can't do that. Look, we just haven't got the manpower. We can't do it. I'd been a Christian not long. And I got up and I said, look, if you look around the room, if we don't, in 10 years' time, there'll be nobody left. Basically implying you'll all be dead. It was a little bit insensitive. It was, you know, but do you know what? They went, you're right. And we did it. And do you know, through that crusade, the church began to totally turn around. My life was turned around by that crusade. I was the one that was most affected by it, but also it turned around the life of the church. Now, so I was young and said those words that perhaps, you know, maybe were a word in season, but also were a little bit insensitive. And as we grow older, hopefully we become more sensitive, but hopefully with insightfulness and a prophetic word and an encouraging word and a helpful word and words in season that will actually help people to see Jesus for who he is. And perhaps we're prepared then to persevere with people that we've been praying for. Have you been praying for people for years and they've not come to faith? Keep praying. Keep praying. We have people in this church that were prayed for many, many years before they came to faith. People prayed for me for over 5 years before I came to faith. There are other people that were prayed for a lot longer before they came to know Jesus. Keep praying. Have you got people that you've really struggled with for years? Don't all look at me. But have you got people that you've struggled with? Keep praying for them. Keep trying to show them love and win them over for Jesus. Have you got people that, you know, in your family that you think, oh, do you know what? Oh, I would just so want them to come to know Jesus. Keep praying. Keep loving. Be there for them. Even when they say and do things that really, you think, oh, dear, I wish they wouldn't do that. Continue to love them unconditionally. Well, I had a street pastor say to me a couple of years ago, he said, do you know what, Graham? He said, I'm struggling because I'm seeing some of the people that I first met 5 years ago still getting absolutely ratted on a Saturday night. And it upsets me that what I'm doing isn't changing their lives. And I said, but we've got to go back to what our purpose is. Our purpose isn't to change their lives. Our purpose is to be Jesus in that situation and allow him in his mercy and in his timing to do what needs to be done. We just need to carry on showing that love. And to be fair, he took that on board. And he said, no, you're right. I do need to remind myself of that. And we went through it. And there will be people in our families, people that we love, that for years have been living lives that we just think, oh, it's, you know, and we'll be feeling hurt inside for them. Keep loving them. Keep being there for them. Keep persevering with God's love that they may be transformed. Even a friend of mine, he'd prayed for his father for 40 years. And his father committed his life to Christ the night he died. So I just want to say to you, persevere. Persevere. And if we go back to Peter and John, they persevered even when the potential was that they were going to get hurt. When the street pastors go out, the potential is they could get hurt. You know, praise God, we've not had anybody hit or anything like that in the years, and part of the training is to make sure that we don't get into situations where we put ourselves or the team at risk. But when we're sharing our faith, we might not risk physical harm in terms of somebody hitting us, but we might risk somebody not liking us, being unkind to us, saying hurtful things. But actually, does that really matter? Superficially, yes, it does, because it hurts. None of us want to get hurt, do we? None of us want to be in pain. None of us want to. Well, you know, if you're like me, you want to be a people pleaser. And I know that is an issue that I have. I want to try and please people. But sometimes we have to just take stock. But be prepared for people not to like you. Be prepared for people to be upset with you. Perseverance isn't actually an attribute that's really very well liked in today's society, is it? And this is in church as well, but in life, if you ask people to do a one-off, you say, oh, would you help me with this on this day? Yeah, no, I'll do that. Would you do this every week? Oh, not sure I want to commit to something every week. You know, I grew up in church where people did jobs for 50 years in the church. And that wasn't always a good thing. But the fact that they were prepared to do it was a very good thing. Wasn't it? It was a very good thing. We need to be prepared to persevere even if there is a cost. Even if it's going to hurt. Peter and John, they didn't cower. They didn't hide. They did the opposite. They made themselves as clear as day. They were followers of Jesus. And nothing was going to stop them from sharing that fact. Are you like that at work? Are you like that with your neighbours? Do people know that you follow Jesus? I'm not saying you've got to actually shout from the rooftops. But do you hide your faith? Or do you let it shine through? Both with the way that you love people and when they ask you a question, be honest. If they say, you know, if they said to you, oh, wait, why do you leave home at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning? Well, for both of us, actually probably 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Would you actually say, well, actually, do you know what? It's because I go to be with my fellow believers. Or you say, oh, I go to church. You know, do you hide behind the word church rather than saying, do you know, oh, I go to worship God. Or I go to be with people like me who love Jesus. You know, that little bit of extra that just says, actually, do you know what? Mine's about a relationship, not just about going to a service. Because actually that can make quite a difference. Because, you know, lots of people go to church. But do you actually share the fact that you are a follower of Jesus? You're a disciple of Jesus? You love Jesus so much that you want people to know who he is. Somebody said this. I'd be interested if any of you know who this is. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you've got to keep moving forward. As Christians, it's not enough to come and just be with your fellow believers. We're servants. Do you know, I was reading an article the other day. I think leadership is mentioned 9 times in the Bible. Servant is mentioned over 900 times. We are all servants. Whatever role we have in this life of this church, we are all servants. And we're called to serve every day. We're called to serve all the time. And so I just want to encourage us to persevere in our service for God. It's not about coming to church, it's about serving God with all of our lives, every part of us. Let's close with this from Galatians. By the way, that was Martin Luther King that said that. Let's close with Galatians 6, where he says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Let's not give up. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep working and serving this God of ours. Let's keep persevering. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you that in Jesus we have the perfect example. Because, you know, we read, and I can't remember where it was now, but we read that Jesus gave up his heavenly powers in order to come and be with us and to show us the way. And, Father, he served you with every part of his being. He loved you with every part of his being. And it cost him. And he had to endure and he had to persevere. Will you help us to do that, to endure and to persevere and to see those wonderful things that you can do through people that follow you in obedience? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.